7 out of 10 proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
What is it?
Stuck in the middle with Drew.
Drew, sorry, my bad. Wrong there.
I am so stuck in the middle between these two girls. If I had to pick which one I liked more, I just couldn't. It's the same thing with their wines. If I had to pick which one I like more, I couldn't. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time in the show where we introduce to you the Dueling Divas, starring Kathy Lee Gifford and Candace Cameron Burry. I still can't get her name right. Candace, are you Russian? What is that thing? I don't understand.
Yes, Drew. Russian, beret.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, all right. Candace, who is your favorite television co-host on a talk show, television show these days? Who would that be?
Not Drew Marshall.
Oh, my goodness. How about Kathy Lee Gifford? Kathy, are you there?
I am. Hello, Drew. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Kathy.
When was the last time you two talked? Did you not have her on your show recently, Kathy?
Yes, we often have her on our show. We love having her on, and then I think we talked on my podcast, didn't we, Candace?
Yeah, we did.
Kathy Lee, how are you? By the way, it's been so long since we chatted.
I don't care. You only call me when other guests fall out.
That's how I feel, too.
Yeah. So we're like your old two standbys, too dumb to have something else to do today. But, you know, just
so true.
Stupid enough to say, oh, Drew needs us.
Oh, I know. The only reason you say yes is because you actually think I'm a hot man. I mean, let's clear that up. I am a gorgeous, hefty hunk of steaming junk, and you both fancy me. Wow. Okay. Laughter is not what I wanted. No laughing. All right, listen, I want to talk about your wines, but I want to also talk about a number of other things, and I'd like to start things off by doing a little bit of a contest. If either of you can name me one person from this group, according to the NewYorkWineFestivals.com website, name me at least one of television's biggest wine drinkers. From what TV show, what characters are the biggest wine drinkers? Just tell me the television show. If you happen to know the character on that television show who drinks a lot of wine, you'll get a bonus point as well. Candace, any guesses?
Can I go for it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Olivia Pope from Scandal.
Oh, my goodness. Well done.
Is that true?
That is so true. Holy cow. Yeah. All right. Kathy
Good
Lee?
For you. How come you're watching television tonight? Don't you have small children?
No.
Kathy Lee, let me just give you a hint, okay? Since you sound like you're struggling right now.
No, because I'm a news junkie. I don't watch, there's not one show I watch.
Okay, this show, you'll know this show. This show is based on women your age.
What the heck is that?
I know.
Don't say it. Candace, no cheating.
Obviously, this woman is a lousy mother. Go ahead, Candace.
Okay, Candace, what is it?
Wait, can it be a morning show?
No.
Okay. I'm going to use like Kathy Lee and Hoda, like having their wine in the morning.
Well, let me just tell you. Number one was Olivia Pope from Scandal. Number two is April Ludgate from Parks and Recreation. Number three is the entire cast of Cougar Town. I thought you'd get that, Kathy Lee.
All of these are such classics.
Oh, stop. And then in fourth place, the top four in fourth place, a little show hosted by Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda Kotb, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Well, here's the difference. First of all, that wine of ours sits there, if you notice. It's rarely imbibed. And it's just a prop that makes everybody think they're at a party. It's psychological. Duh.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, we save our heavy drinking till lunch.
Oh, are you still going to many Broadway? Don't you have every Wednesday you go to a show or something like that, Kathy?
Well, we did for about the first 4 years of our time together, and then I was involved with my own show being on Broadway. I remember doing an interview with you in like a staircase there one time. Another time somebody fell out. And sadly, you know, my show didn't last very long. And I went through about a year afterwards where it was almost unbearable for me to go to a Broadway show. It was so painful, the experience of it, and the pain of having worked so hard and having it, you know, result that way. I mean, I wasn't bitter towards anybody. It was just painful, and I just thought, I don't need more pain in my life. You know, there'll be a time when I'm ready to go back.
I'm so glad I brought that up.
No, it's fine. It's another thing that just God heals you. Sometimes God heals immediately, miraculously, and other times it takes longer, and he teaches you something through it. And it was actually when we went through the spring after the big hurricane back here. Hurricane Sandy happened on the end of October, and then my show closed, opened right after that, and we never recovered, as hardly any show ever did that year that opened on Broadway, because, you know, people aren't thinking about going to Broadway when they can't get out the water out of their basements and they can't find their front porch. And, you know, it was devastating for almost every show that wasn't an established show already on Broadway. So then there were other things as well that happened. But, you know, it was a painful time. And not till spring came and I got back to work on our home, which had been devastated, did I start seeing that God is all about bringing beauty from ashes. Beauty from ashes, and if we allow him to, he'll make something even more beautiful of our lives, the way he was helping me make our home even more beautiful. Because Frank and I, we live on the water, but we would never take down a tree. It just seems wrong to us. Well, nature took down some 250-year-old trees of ours. And the next thing you know, we had views that were just unbelievable of our harbor, of New York City, of just... And all of a sudden, just joy started coming back to me. So I know you asked it in a funny way, but Hoda and I started going back to Broadway, but I didn't like hardly anything I saw.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just thought, you know what? I am at a point in my life now where Candace is not. She's much younger. But you do get to the point where you start realizing that the bulk of your life is behind you. you just do the math. And you start realizing how precious time is, and it's all you've got. And I just didn't want to go anymore and sit for 3 hours in the theater, and then 2 hours to get home because it would have been in the height of the traffic, for something that I didn't like. It didn't move me. It didn't make me think. It didn't encourage me. It offended me. So there was a whole there were a couple of years there of Broadway that I just couldn't get excited about. And I'm not going to spend my time at something and pretend I'm loving something if I don't.
Man, I'm bummed out right now.
Yeah, you should be incredibly depressed. By the way, are you back with the Lord now?
My goodness.
Good question.
I want to take him off the prayer list now because even, you know, a lot of my time has been consumed with you, buddy, and other people need it a lot more than you.
Okay, first of all, I can't believe it. Okay, first of all, Kathy Lee.
Yes.
Back with the Lord has a whole lot of baggage to it.
Yes.
And that would presume that I you know, ran away or became an atheist or rejected my, you know, no, I've just been trying to develop a doctrine of doubt. I'm trying to figure out where doubt fits in with faith, and I've discovered that it's more compatible with faith than certainty is.
Of course, read the Psalms. It's all about that.
Okay, but you know, I'm not like some Satan worshiping.
I never said that.
Wine drinking heathen.
I never said that. You and I had many long conversations that were not on the radio during that time. And you do, boy, do you have a short memory.
Stop.
And a little dementia yourself. Yeah.
Okay, Candace, you are loving this, aren't you?
I'm so loving this. I'm like, didn't we just have a conversation recently about this?
Yeah, okay, great. You know,
yeah,
you're
still having them.
The reason I really like both of you, well, you're both very hot, but the reason I like both of you is because you're both very vulnerable spiritually, and you're both, you stink of authenticity. And that's just, it just seems to be, I don't know, I can't, there just aren't that many people out there that I find as authentic as you two. But the other thing is, you both have a little testicular fortitude when it comes to getting up in my grill about spirit. I mean, we've had some great conversations about this stuff.
Yeah.
So thanks to you both for caring enough.
Yeah, we love you, and we were prayerful about you because what you were going through was honest, and it was heartfelt, and it wasn't, it wasn't as a result of some sort of bitterness towards God because something happened to you or something. It was truly a seeker's heart. I always felt, and I knew that the Lord would give you wisdom. And
well, that hasn't happened yet, but
no, maybe not. But he still, I still believe it, and I knew that he would. But the scripture is so clear about, you know, those who truly seek, that pleases the Lord, and you will find him if you truly seek him with all your heart. And that's what I felt like you were doing. So I just can't believe somebody still keeps you on the radio. That's the big psychological question.
Wow. You know, I had a good therapy session this week.
Amen.
And it's just all gone downhill now. All right. What's the other person's name on the phone? I can't remember. Candace.
Bure.
That's right. Can you just explain to me Bure Family Wines and the process that you actually participate in yourself? What role do you play in Bure Family Wines?
I drink it.
By the way, they're delicious. Candace sent them to me early on, and they're really delicious wines, I've got to say.
Candace sent some to you. Well, that's nice. That's
well,
good.
Well, it's just harder to ship to Canada, that's all.
Whatever.
Not because I love you any less.
Whatever. Although I did know, I had some at your house when we had that little soiree while I was down there. And I am not a white fan at all. I mean, white wine. Sorry.
Wow.
Clear
you
that
have
up.
To bring race into everything.
I'm not. It tastes cheap to me. Until I tasted, now I've not tasted Gift yet, but until I tasted Bure Family Wines, whatever white you guys were serving at the house that night, oh my goodness. I mean, if I was into crack, that would be it.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Dennis, what kind was it, sweetie?
I don't remember which one Drew had, but we have a Chardonnay and a Sauvignon Blanc.
Uh-huh.
Which is your favorite, Kathy Lee?
I am not a Sauvignon Blanc fan. In fact,
too dry.
I've always been a Chardonnay fan. But Candace, I know, when I first got out to California in the 1970s, I loved the California Chardonnays because they were light and crisp and delicate, more like a French Burgundy, you know, or a Chablis, mm-hmm. a French Chablis. And over the years, they've gotten more and more oakier and buttery and heavier, to the point that I had started drinking Pinot Grigio more because I just don't like the heavy, heavy wine. And I don't remember yours being heavy, though. It wasn't oaky. It wasn't a heavy oak because I wouldn't have liked it.
Oh, well, thanks. It is. It's definitely a fuller white wine and very food friendly, but it's not overly buttery. It's not overly oaked.
I think that's the way people want lighter these days, it seems to me, and everything.
I'm just going to go to the bathroom.
Wow. Can I go too?
That would be the heavy wine talking.
Do you know your wine, all the wines that you carry, Candace Cameron Bure, in the Bure Family Wine lineup?
I do. But let me just say this to all the listeners. While I am not a regular participant, I'm on the sidelines cheering my husband on because he does, I mean, everything with the wines. We do have a winemaker, but Val is takes great care and steps to make every single one of our wines. I mean, this is his passion and his baby, and it has been for more than 10 years. So Val is hands-on. He blends the wines with the winemaker and makes them to his palate.
Right. Did you just say you don't drink? Are you trying to not offend all the homeschooling mothers out there from the Baptist Church of Toronto? Candace?
I think you got your answer.
Wow.
She's gone.
I've already offended everyone.
Wow.
So
Where did she? No, I think she had a bad cell. She said she was in a bad cell area. So,
convenient.
That was great timing, wasn't it? I remember when I was talking to the high priest of the Church of Satan, and I asked him a fairly you know, intriguing question. I thought I offended him, and he hung up. But
really?
Yeah, but it. It wasn't. It was just a cell phone thing.
It was just right? That wrestler that's really done it.
Who was that? Oh, Chris Jericho. Yeah, he hung up on me, yeah. Oh, there's Candace calling back. Kathy Lee, let's talk about Candace while she's not around.
Yeah.
Oh, Drew.
Oh, nuts. How'd she get back that fast?
She's so
I'm
darn
so sorry,
adorable.
But my call call dropped, and I just called back.
Well, thank you, Candace. We were just we were just talking about your hot husband who won Battle of the Blades and has unbelievable abs. Unbelievable abs.
Yes, he does. I'm glad you appreciate them, Drew.
Last
well,
time,
he's not the one that gave birth, and Candace has got pretty darn good ones, too.
Candace, Dancing with the Stars, let's talk about Kathy Lee Gifford maybe being on that show. What are the odds?
Would you do it?
You know what they've asked? They stopped asking me. They asked me for so many years, and I've said no for so many years. First of all, having been a dancer most of my life, not a professional, you know, I danced in all of my live shows and on Broadway and all of that stuff. I have so much respect for the art of dancing. It's really hard work. I have a severe herniated disc in my neck, and I just had a couple of years ago operations on both my feet from all my years dancing. So I was in no condition to go on dancing. It would have been dancing
Got
with
it.
The orthopedic shoe for me. The boots. You know those boots you wear after foot surgery? That would have been me.
Yes.
Dancing with the Stars, sponsored by Dr. Scholl. Or Scholl.
In my neck, I'm wearing Dr. Scholl's right this minute. In my neck brace. So, people tune in for the outfits, too. I don't think they would have liked
it. Dancing with the Stars, brought to you by Depends. Brought to you by Spanx. Hey, listen, how come you, I mean, did you really invent Spanx? That's the burning question on everyone's mind, Kathy
Lee. Well, I do think I did, because I started the concept of Spanx years ago, before there was Spanx existed. I wore something called Givenchy Body Smoothers before your time, Drew. No, before your time, Candace. And they were really, really great control top pantyhose all the way down with feet in them and everything, like regular nylons. But I liked the bare look of a leg, so I used to cut them up off at the knee. And I one day showed that on the air to Regis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Next thing you know, billionaire Spanx. So.
Wow. Wow. So you and who is the guy that invented the internet again? Al Gore. Do you and Al Gore commiserate with each other?
We have pity parties every day.
Okay.
While I'm pointing out to him that there has been no global warming for the last 10 years or something. Not that it doesn't exist, but it hasn't happened in the last 10 decades.
Start. Okay, let's talk about gift wine for a second, because Candace, well, she was very clear about the fact that she loves the Lord and she does not drink any alcohol ever.
I did not say that!
She drinks properly, and if you read the Bible makes a huge distinction
yes, it does.
Between wine and drunkenness.
Right.
Drunkenness.
Right.
Big, big, big difference. And the Bible, and for those who say, well, it wasn't fermented, then why does the Bible talk about don't be drunk and it differentiates also between wine and alcoholic beverages in many places.
Oh, so, but that's so yesterday. We're so, like, come on, we're past the whole, oh, you're a Christian, you drink thing. Come on.
Oh, I don't
really?
Know. I'm in some places we're not, which is, you know what, we're not supposed to use our freedom to offend anyone, but at the same time.
That's my entire show.
You know what? I cherish my freedom in Christ so much. I cherish the Zoe life he gives me, which means overflowing. You know, when Jesus said, I come that you might have life and life abundantly, the Greek word is Zoe, which means you can't even contain it. And so much of Scripture talks about wine being a blessing. It makes the heart glad. It's a big part. Every civilization since caveman time has had a wine tradition. And it's just like anything else, every good and perfect gift that comes from God, people abuse it.
Yeah.
Sex is beautiful, but people abuse it. Food is wonderful, but people abuse it. It's the same thing with wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful and it's wonderful, but people abuse it. And that's not going to stop. That's not going to change.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone with Kathy Lee Gifford and Candace Cameron Bure, they are both involved in the wine-making process in some way. We're not quite clear what way. Maybe like Lucille Ball did in her little television show. Kathy Lee Gifford, the gift thing. That's not a great way to describe it. GIFFT.com, I believe, is the website.
Giftwines.com.
Giftwines, that's right. Giftwines.com. What sets your wine apart from, say, something like, I don't know, Bure Family Wines? What sets your wines apart?
Well, what we have in common is that they're both California grown, and they're both delicious, both wines. So I would encourage everybody to be judicious and try them both, because I've had Cameron's. I'm not sure if she's had mine yet, but Cameron's is delicious. A gentleman came to me about a year and a half ago and said, "You need to be in the wine business." And I looked at him and I said, "Where have you been all my life?" Because so much has been made out of the Hoda and I on the show, but it's really kind of ridiculous. But I thought, you know, why not capitalize on it? First of all, I was born in Paris, France, and wine has been a part of my family tradition since I was a young girl. I wasn't drinking it, but my family, we lived in Paris, and my mom and dad that's where they discovered wine. And then we moved to Germany, and my daddy discovered the Steins and the beer. And I never saw my parents drunk ever. But they enjoyed. It was a part of our culture. So as I became an adult, I incorporated it into my life as well. So I wanted to make wines that I love so much that I'm not just for the public to enjoy, but that I would be proud to serve in my own home for my family and guests. Regis is coming to dinner tonight. And Regis, I used to tease him, all he likes to drink is a Cosmopolitan or sometimes a vodka tonic. And so the very first restaurant here in Greenwich, Connecticut that carried our wine, they brought over the white and they brought over the red blend. And Regis had three glasses, and he loves it. So I made my first convert to the wine.
Wow.
Our red blend it just got a 91 from Wine Enthusiast magazine.
Nice.
Our Chardonnay got an 88. And as Candace knows, those are hard things to come by. We're getting gold medals in the blind test tastings, which is interesting, when my name isn't attached to it, which can give some people a preconceived idea, right, Candace? They think, oh, it's a celebrity wine. Your wine isn't a celebrity wine. It's a very serious winemaking operation. You just happen to be an actress as well. Well, I'm 50-50 partner with the Scheid Family Vineyards in Monterey, and I don't consider mine a celebrity wine either. I'm in it as a businesswoman, and it's been fun. I was just at harvest last weekend, my first harvest for the new year, and what a hard work goes into it, and what precision, and you know you have to be so careful about what's going on in the with weather and winds and I don't know, just so many things can go wrong. It's really a science, and it's a beautiful art form. So I'm happy to be involved with it. I'm loving it.
Well, I look forward to having my first taste of these delectable delights.
I have a question though for Kathy Lee. Why is gift? I hope this isn't too obvious and I'm totally missing it. Why is it spelled with two F's?
Candace, I need you to start thinking something through.
Focus.
What is my last name?
Gifford has two F's. I win.
Okay. But it's not, is it a take off the word gift, that like a gift, a present
it's
as well?
Both. And gift is Frank's nickname. When he was 14 years old, his brother took him and got him a tattoo on his left arm that said GIF. Now, that was 70 years ago, and so now it says GIF, because you know how those tattoos. But nonetheless, it still was GIF, he tells me. Actually, when we got married 28 years old ago, it looked pretty much like GIF. Now it's GIF.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is a play on my name.
No, yes. I like it. It's quite good. Actually, you know, speaking of celebrity wines, I think we should maybe encourage Rob Ford to come out with a red. Rob Ford red would be beautiful. Eh?
How's he doing? Is his tumor malignant? Have they
Yes,
said?
It is. Yes, it is. He's got two of them.
Are they giving him some hope? Is it a death sentence?
Well, they're you know, he's doing chemo, and everybody remains hopeful. So, yeah, that's...
But there's something so lovable about him, you know? And I guess his brother's running now in his stead. Is he doing well in the polls?
That's right. Well, not he hasn't really started campaigning yet, but John Tory, who's been a former guest on this show, a conservative fellow, man, quite a successful businessman, I think he's got the lead right now, so that's where things are. Yeah, yeah. But I really do want all of our American listeners, and that's actually our number one online listenership, are the folks from the United States of America. I want you folks to go out and try these wines. So where do we get them? Do we go to the websites? I mean, how does it work? Candace, for you?
Yeah, we're a very small production in a boutique winery, so most of our sales are online or at our tasting room in Napa Valley. You can go to borefamilywines.com. There is a waiting list, though, to sign up to even be able to order because we're sold out every year because we have such a limited quantity. So just sign up and get put on the waiting list, and hopefully we just did a release 2 weeks ago, but maybe on our next release next year, hopefully you'll be able to get on the list to order.
Well, that'd be nice. Just before you go, Candace, is there any truth? Is there any truth to the rumor, Candace?
Oh, Drew.
Is there any truth?
A full house.
We want to know the truth, Candace.
But a reunion show.
Yes.
Yeah, a new show. You know what, Drew? They've been talking about it for a while, but there's nothing
concrete.
Nothing signed, nothing. Yeah. So as far as anyone's concerned right now, there's absolutely nothing happening.
Right. Do you
Dagon Olsen twins, isn't it?
Do you see a role? Do you see a role for Val in the new series?
Val is not an actor.
Either is Regis, but don't tell him.
I just wanted to know. Inquiring minds want to know this stuff. Candace, I might be coming down your way in the next few weeks. Just wanted to let you know so you can plan your vacation appropriately.
Oh, okay, sure. That'd be my work
schedule. Get some wine in,
will you?
I'll be back up in Canada, actually, in 3 weeks because I'm shooting another 2 Hallmark movies.
Wow.
So maybe you can come visit in Vancouver.
Yeah, because that's so close to Ontario. Jumping. Candace, I love you very much. I just want to talk to Kathy Lee privately, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Can you go away?
I will go away.
Bill Abbott of Hallmark's coming to my house for dinner Monday night. I'll tell him hi for you.
Oh, please do. I'm going to see Bill soon. I know. I love Bill. He's fantastic.
Well, you have a good shoot. Bye, darling. Lord bless.
Okay.
Hey, Drew, wake up.
Bye.
Bye, sweetheart.
Can I just say I love Bill Abbott, too? I've had some great conversations with him. I really have. No, I have.
You know what? I'm so grateful that there is still a channel like that out there that still does that. Candace's movies and things that the whole family, you don't have to be worried that somebody's going to have a wardrobe malfunction or all of a sudden, you know, a sex scene. Family, there's so few places a family can go in any kind of safety anymore knowing that, you know, it's going to be wholesome.
Yeah.
I'm not saying other people should only watch the Hallmark.
No, but there's an option.
I'm grateful for it. There's enough of the other, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I am quite grateful as well. And the Hallmark ship is slowly turning. I remember them saying, we're not your mother's station anymore kind of a thing.
Oh.
They really are getting some dynamic material on
the
network.
They are, and that's because of his leadership. He's a neat man.
Yes,
I like him.
He is a neat man. He's also a hockey fan, although I think he cheers for a pathetic hockey team, so that's okay.
He likes the Leafs, too?
No, stop. Listen, Kathy Lee, is there anything, and I can't remember the last time I've asked any guest this, so this just means you're special, and I'm just feeling all mushy here, but you know, apparently there's a boatload of listeners. I don't believe it. And these people actually pray. What would you ask 100,000 people to pray for you about?
Wow. What a privilege to be given that opportunity, Drew. Thank you. It's 2 things come to mind, so I'm being greedy, I suppose. Number one would be that I be a good steward of whatever time I have left on this earth to share the Lord, to be bold about him, and not judgmental. I don't mean it that way. Not judgmental like, you know, repent and God.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that I be bold about standing in the name of the Lord for the kind of life he wants people to enjoy. You know, not that he wants to send everybody to hell, that he wants us to experience that piece of eternity that he's already placed in our souls, that he wants us to bring shalom to chaos, is the way my friend from That the World May Know, Ray Vanderlaan, talks about, that we were put on this earth to bring shalom to the chaos of the world, just like Jesus did. People think the word shalom means just peace, but it's come to mean that. But the original meaning of it in Hebrew meant God's perfection. What God first brought to, when Jehovah Elohim, God the Creator, brought perfection to the world he created. It was called shalom. And the void that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over was chaos. And look at the world today. We live in such a chaotic time. And I'm not talking about global warming. I was making a little joke before. I mean, that might be part of it, but it's just what man, the inhumanity to one another, and the wars and rumors of wars, and the Ebola, and the just that everything just seems to have it's out of control. It's out of control, and it's systemic, and it seems to be everywhere. But we, as followers of Jesus, are to be his hands and his heart and his eyes and his loving presence in a world that has gone completely to chaos. We're supposed to bring shalom. So that would be my prayer, that I would be a good steward of that. And the other is for my children that are now, I've tried to raise to bring shalom to chaos. My son's starting tomorrow, actually, his master's program at Oxford University in England. And I just, you know, where C.S. Lewis was led to the Lord by Tolkien. I want the Lord to, I want him to catch that fire that C.S. Lewis and Tolkien had as he studies further. And my daughter just finished her fourth film, and I want her to take her shalom to the chaos of the Hollywood world. She was in the film God's Not Dead, which surprised all of the box office, making over $100 million worldwide. I think we need more films out there that have that kind of a message that appeals to the mass market, not just the faith-based world.
Do you ever sort of pinch yourself when you sit back and realize that you have offspring going to Oxford?
Yeah, no, I have, it's crazy. I've got a student at Oxford, and I've got a dropout from USC, and I love them both the same. I've told them both what my daddy told me. Find something you love to do, and then figure out a way to get paid for it.
Yeah.
And seek the Lord's guidance every step of the way. And I've raised them in the way they should go, as the Scripture says, and I'm just, neither one of them are an open rebellion to the Lord. I don't mean that, but I know that like what Jeremiah said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And that's the kind of message I want to share with people that I meet every day at NBC and everything else that I do. Not that, you know, God created you and he's disappointed in you and he hates you and you know, then he's sending you to hell. But God loves you. You are unique and precious to him. And if you just trust him, he will make something beautiful out of your life.
You kill me. You really do. Just before we say goodbye, the podcast, tell our listeners how to go there and tune in to that glorious stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I've been doing it almost a year. It's a lot of work for but I enjoy it. I mean, what I like about it is something like the conversation you and I are having now. It doesn't have to be 3 or 4 minutes like it is on the Today Show. Or yeah. We can have an actual in-depth conversation. I've had everybody from Bob Newhart to Carl Reiner to, so many people that I admire through the years, but also people of faith, and it keeps me reading books. It keeps me on my toes, because you can't fake something for an hour with somebody. You got to do your homework, and I've really enjoyed it. I had Ricky Gervais called me on his 53rd birthday, and we spent an hour together, and I just thought, oh my gosh, Ricky, I'm on the phone sitting in my little podcast booth with Ricky Gervais, you know, who is my favorite atheist, he and Carl Reiner.
Yeah, yeah.
They're my two favorite atheists. I love those guys.
We had, speaking of favorite atheists, we had Penn Jillette on last year, and what a great conversation. I love talking to people who are not arrogant about what they believe.
Yes. Well, but they let you believe what you want to believe too in a respectful way.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. It's I get tired. The thing that just tests my Christianity more often than not is the hypocrisy of the people who scream tolerance, who are completely intolerant of somebody else's belief about something, whether it is global warming or whether it is faith or whether it is politics. You know, they scream tolerance all the while being the most intolerant of anyone.
Man, yeah, well, listen, it's been way too long. I am so reminded of how much I actually love you, and that's a little awkward for me right there. Before we go, I need you to vote on which. It's season 12, it's our first show, and we're going to close our show with one of these two closing quotes. And okay. I need your vote on these.
Okay?
The first one. May the love of our Lord light up your life and also up yours. Number two, if you don't sin, Jesus died for nothing. Which one of those do you think are the better ones? Hey, which one?
Say the first one one more time, because I don't think I heard you clearly.
No, you did. May the love of our Lord light up your life and also up yours.
I think I'll go with number two. And so, I don't mean it that way, number two.
So you think I'm getting Kathy Lee's endorsement on this closing. This is the closer.
Of the two.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember, if you don't sin, Jesus died for nothing.
Well, I can feel pretty confident about that because okay. I know they are going to sin. I'm going to get off the phone with you, and guess what? I'm going to sin.
Oh, man. Love you heaps. Thank you so much. And, folks, giftwines.com.
Thank you, sweetie.
That's where
and
you
also,
need to go.
You asked about the podcast. It's on podcastone.com, O-N-E,
right.
Podcast One. And I love you, my friend. Congratulations on 12 crazy years. I loved you since the first time we talked because you were brave and you were open about your own doubts and your own walk and just like King David was. And he was a man after God's own heart, too, so let's remember that.
Thank you, darling.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Call me anytime somebody big falls out, okay?
Thank you.
Love you, baby.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Kathy Lee Gifford and Candace Cameron Bure on the Drew Marshall Show. Now you know why I like those two girls. They have been on our show more than any other guests over the last 12 years, both of them. Crazy, crazy girls.
Hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.